You're welcome into God's house this morning. It's so good to see you. And thank you for coming this morning. Because if you didn't come this morning, like Reverend Omar would say, if you didn't come this morning, then who would we teach to? The chairs, the empty chairs, the table. We thank God that you're here this morning. Amen. Who's excited about Christmas? Huh? Okay. I am. I'm excited about Christmas. I'm excited about Christmas, the food, the holiday off from work. Yeah. So, like I said, everyone is welcome again this morning. And we're just going to continue with the teaching series that we've been looking at. And the series that we've been looking at is living the making the most of your life. Making the most of your life. And this morning, there's a key scripture that I'd like to read from. I believe Pastor Benson would have touched upon it in his last message. So there's a key scripture that I'd like us to look at. And then I also have 3 points that I'd like us to focus on. So I'd like us to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 14. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 14, and I'll read. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Verse 12, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you to exile." So there's a reason why I went beyond verse 11. It's a very popular scripture in this church. You know that one of Pastor Benson's favorite scripture. But the reason why I read further is to show you why God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you because he wants you to also work with him in his plan. And we'll talk about that in more detail this morning. I have 3 main points that we'll look at this morning. And I'll just go through the 3 main points and then we'll look at each one individually. So why does God have a plan for us? So the first reason why God has a plan for us, number one, is in order for us to walk in the plans that God has for us. The reason why he has a plan for us is because he wants us to know that he wants us to cooperate with him and know that we have a role to play as well. The second point as well is, in order to follow God's plan, we need to, on a daily basis, block out the enemy's voice in order to follow God's plan. And then the last point that we'll look at this morning is, we need to actually see ourselves as God's plan. We need to see ourselves as God's plan. And in that number 3, I'll actually be re-echoing what our general overseer was talking about in the victory night that passed on Friday. I'm not sure how many of us watched it, but in CFT Bristol Church Global, we have victory night at the last Friday of every month. So we're exploring this main scripture in talking about Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 14, about God's plan for us. I was deliberating in my mind that I wanted to look at a character in the Bible that demonstrated when you follow God's plan and if you don't follow God's plan. So I was deliberating between Judas Iscariot. That's quite weird, isn't it? I like to come from a different angle. Nobody really preaches about Judas Iscariot, do they? So I was deliberating whether Judas Iscariot or the Samaritan woman. That just came to me this morning. So I thought, we're going to look at the Samaritan woman. So I'd like us to go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I read from verse 1. And it reads, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had come to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, and his Sychar near the plot of the ground of Jacob, who he had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired as he was from the journey, and he sat down by the well, and this was about noon. So at this time, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?'" Verse 9, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.'" Verse 10, "Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" Verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his son and his livestock?" And Jesus answered her. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water and welling up into eternal life." Verse 15, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty.'" I want us to jump to verse 17. Okay. "So Jesus replies to her, 'Go and call your husband and come back.'" So Jesus knew that actually, Jesus knew her background, and Jesus knew that she was a woman who always needed a man in her life. And verse 17, she replies to Jesus. This is the Samaritan woman. She says, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is just true." And then I want to jump to verse 25. "The woman said, 'I know the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us.' Then Jesus declared, 'I am the one speaking. I am he.'" So why did I pick that story? Because when we're talking about Jesus having a plan for us, sometimes we can be like that Samaritan woman, okay? Obviously, everyone has their own weaknesses. But if we look at this woman, one thing I like about Jesus is, if you read the Bible, Jesus always chooses people that in the world we would overlook. You understand where I'm coming from? Jesus chooses people in the world, chooses people that often, as humans or in the world, we would overlook. This was a lady who not only had a husband, but Jesus says, "You have many husbands." So she was, I don't want to use the word, she was a cheater. She was playing men. She was fornicating. Doesn't really look like someone that can be used by God. But Jesus didn't judge her. And Jesus, you know, made it clear to her that he still had a plan for her. And one of the first points that we looked at earlier that I said is, in order for us to walk in the plan that God has for us, we need to cooperate with him. And one of the things that I just wanted to talk about now is when you look at this lady, she knew that she wasn't the perfect picture, but she was honest with herself. She was honest with herself, and she actually let God see that, you know what? I'm a Samaritan woman. You Jews are not supposed to speak with us. So the first thing I want to say is, in God's plan for your life, he doesn't look at your background. He doesn't look at where you're coming from. And I think we've spoken about this extensively before in some other series that we've done. That's one thing I like about CFT Church. I was telling Pastor Benson the other day, we have a headquarters in London, and the choir is really like massive. The choir is like, I don't know, maybe like 60 people or so, if I'm correct, right? And that's made, not all of them roving. And you see different people in the choir, young people, elderly people, maybe 70, some people 12, and you see different kind of people in the choir. And one thing I said to Pastor Menson, I said, one thing that amazes me about CFT Bristol Church is when you look at the choir, or even you look at the ushers, don't get it, if I can use this slang, don't get it twisted. You know what we mean by don't get it twisted? These people, the way they serve God, and like in headquarters, they like literally go to church every day, right? They go to church every day. And when you look at the people in the choir, I know that there's one lady, she plays for Arsenal. There's one brother who, you know, is like a director in his organization. There are doctors in the choir. There are teachers in the choir. There are engineers in the choir. There are all different kind of people. But when they come to church, all of that is dropped. And it reminded me something someone said one day. That when you talk to people, let's say if I meet, I don't know, if I meet a sister and we're talking and I say, oh, hi, you okay? Oh, what do you do for a living? Or tell me about yourself. A lot of people might say, I am a doctor. I am an animative creation. I'm a social influencer. But do you know what? If you met Jesus and Jesus had to introduce himself, would Jesus say, first of all, hi, I'm a fisherman? It sounds funny. But you know what? Sometimes in the world, we get caught up. We get caught up on titles. But I want you to know that what you are, first of all, is a child of God. You're a priest of God. That Samaritan woman, all her life, I'm sure, in that community, they're like, oh, here she's coming, oh my God. Do you know that she has five wives? The guy she's with, oh, she's coming. Oh, hello, sister. We were just saying that we like this dress that you're wearing. Yeah, you're okay. Oh, look at her, can you imagine? All these men, she slept with all the men in town, you know? But Jesus did not see her as that, first of all. He saw her as my child. So this one, I'm telling you, the first, who you are, yes, thank God, God wants us to have professions and everything, but who you are, first of all, is a child of God. You're a priest of the Most High God. And God has a plan for you. Yes, he has a plan for us in our respective careers and everything, but the plan that he has is for you to cooperate with him. And that lady, that Samaritan woman, she probably thought it was all over. And she thought, you know what? I'm already bad. Let me just be badder. I might as well carry on this life of mine, sleeping with this different man. But you know, when she came to Jesus, she understood the plan of God for her life. And one of the things I want to say this morning, like Pastor Benson said in the past series, you know, when he was talking about running your race, right? God's plan, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 14, if we look back on verse 12, after God says, I have a plan for you to prosper you, not to harm you, he then said, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. He said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. And it goes on. And what I'm trying to say is, how is it that after that statement, when Jesus said, I have a plan for you, not to harm you, to prosper you, he then said, then you will call on me. That's how you enter his plan. Your plan needs to be intertwined with God's plan. And you know what? We're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of this, right? You know, we like to pray that scripture. God says that he has a plan for me, plan to prosper me, not to harm me. But the thing is, God has a plan for you, but do you want his plan? That's the question I want to ask you this morning. Do you want God's plan, or do you want your plan? So, I mean, that's human nature. Sometimes we try and fix it ourselves. And that's what the Samaritan woman was doing. Probably she had weaknesses or had insecurities. And she felt that the way she was going to fulfill her life was to fill her void with men. And so I want to just move on to the next point. So that first point, that what we were emphasizing there is, in order for us to know this plan that God has for us, we need to cooperate with him. The next thing that I wanted to say is, in order to follow God's plan, we need to, on a daily basis, block out the voice of the enemy. And what do I mean by this? So, okay. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I want us to read that, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. So what are we looking at? We're looking at, in order to follow God's plan, we need to block out the enemy's voice on a daily basis. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, I'll also read it. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I wrote down there that in order for us to actually follow God's plan or manifest his plan, we need to run with every word, every prophecy that God has spoken. So let me just give you an example of that. Sorry, I will use Pastor Benson again. So Pastor Benson used to live in London, West London, and he told us a story, obviously, that he felt God leading him into ministry. I think he was on a train or something, and then he felt the prompting of God. And then lo and behold, the general overseer called him out and also confirmed it, that God was calling him into ministry. So at that time, obviously, Pastor Benson was already serving in the church. He was a worker. He already had, you know, he was happy, if I can say that. He was happy, he was content with what he was doing, serving in the church of God. He was doing well in his career. Then, and that's the thing as well. A lot of us, without pride, you can say, oh, my life is good, actually. Thank you very much. Dickness Remy, my life is good, actually. God has blessed me with a family. I'm in a good career and everything. But you know what? Even though you feel like you've got it all figured out, if you're not walking in God's plan, you've not fulfilled God's calling on your life. So even though Pastor Benson, he was living a good life as far as he was concerned, but actually, Pastor Benson, he was on his path. I don't want to say he wasn't walking in God's plan. He was on his path. And if Pastor Benson did not come into God's plan, I would not know or be seeing any of you. I would not know any of you. And that's the same thing I want us to know this morning, that God has a plan for every one of us, and we need to silence the voice of the enemy in our minds. And I really wanted to encourage us this morning. So how many of us here have had prophecy spoken over our lives? Yeah, you're allowed to nod. Don't worry, you're allowed. How many of us here have had prophecy spoken over our lives? Okay. And I'm sure everyone, when I say has had prophecy spoken over your life, you're probably thinking, someone says, I see you. God is going to use you. God is going to make you great. I'm not actually talking about that. Do you know why? Because everyone has had prophecy spoken over their lives. Do you know why? It's in the Word of God. When you read the Word of God every day, that Word is actually about you. So every one of us has prophecy spoken over our lives. And I wanted to encourage us this morning. When we read that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, talking about the voices in our head that we need to silence, I think a lot of us, we've had prophecies spoken about us. Maybe it's been a prophetic declaration. Some of us, we've read the word of God day in and day out, and we're thinking, when is it going to manifest? I wanted to encourage us. Let me tell you something. God's word is true, and God's word will not return to him void. And I want to speak like Apostle this morning. He'll say, someone needs to wake up and say, no. This prophecy was spoken over my life. Someone needs to wake up in prayer and declare it. Someone needs to wake up and speak that word of God. Let me tell you something. God's word is true. And we have the same authority that Jesus had. I want to tell you a joke. Just to show you that God is in everything, right? So when we moved to the house that we're in now, around like maybe 10 p.m. or 9 p.m., I don't know, for no reason, some birds just decided that they wanted to make noise. And they would be making noise, and I would be Googling it. What time are birds supposed to sleep? What time are birds? And I'll be discussing it with my husband. I said, No, this is very strange. Birds are not supposed to be making noise at this time. And then, interestingly, yesterday, I was hearing a noise like, woohoo, woohoo. I said, and this was around 9 o'clock. And I said to my husband, I said, can you hear something? He said, yeah. I said, can't you hear that? He said, yeah, it's an owl. I said, an owl? I said, sorry, that came my Nigerian thing is coming out. I said, but what time do birds actually, owls wake up? It's too early. I don't know. It's too early for owls to be making noise. And I just said a prayer. I said, if you are a bird, bless God. But any if you're not a bird, I command the fire of God to silence every noise. And you know what? The noise stopped. But that's just a joke. Let us not let RSPCA come and get us. You know, some people think every cat is demonic or every owl. No, let's let the little owls with their feathers and let's let the animals be animals. But what I'm trying to bring out in that point is that, you know what? You have authority. You have authority. And there's a scripture I want us to read again. Let us go to 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And it reads, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. The part I want to read is the part B of that verse 20. And it says, listen to me, Judah, and the people of Jerusalem. I believe this is Jehoshaphat talking. He says, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Other version says, believe in the word of God, you will be established. Believe in your prophets and you will prosper. So what am I saying this morning? That God has a plan for you. And every word you read, every sermon that comes out every Sunday, every word, every single message, let me tell you, you need to cast down those voices in your head. And you need to cling onto the scripture that says, believe in his word, it shall be established. Believe in his prophets, you shall prosper. Let me tell you something. Sometimes I'm a bit weird, you know, in a good way. I want to challenge you in your Christian walk. What level are you walking? You can walk in a height where you know who you are in God and you know the plans that God has for you. You know, sometimes my bank account is making noise. Not making the right noise, anyway, if you know what I mean. Like, sometimes the cash is not really saying much. Has anyone ever felt like that? Sometimes the account is not where it's supposed to be. You understand? And I'll just say, God, I need money. And it sounds funny, right? I say, God, I need money. And I'm not asking God, I need money just to buy a Fendi bag or a Birkin bag or something. No, 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 I need it for something. And you know what? Lo and behold, God will just bring it in a way that I will not expect. So me and God, we play these games now because I say, okay, God, I need money. You brought it in this way, you brought it in that way. What way are you going to bring it this time? And I'm not saying that maybe you should just sit in your room, not do your CV, not apply for jobs, and just say, God, I need money. No, 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 because God is not a magician and you will be broke if you do that. But what I'm trying to say is, you're doing all the right things. You're being obedient in God. God will never let you lack. There's a scripture that says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. When we walk in God's plan, it is easy. And so in walking in God's plan, you need to silence every voice of the enemy. We need to cast down those arguments in our mind. We need to cast down those imaginations and everything that wants to challenge the word of God or every prophecy that we have received or read. And also as well, oh goodness, time is up. Just the last point I'll round up. The last point that I want to just talk about is number three. When we're talking about God has a plan for our lives to prosper us, not to harm us, and God says that he wants us to pray to him and he will listen and we should seek him, we need to see ourselves as God's plan. So Apostle was talking about that we are in 2024, we are in God's plan of revival. And I want you to see that you are part of God's plan. You know, part of the plan for everyone here is that we will align ourselves with God's plan. An apostle was telling everybody that you should gear up yourself to start to see yourself as an evangelist. Can I ask us a question? When last did we, I don't want to say evangelize, because a lot of us, we see evangelism as going to a table in a corner and giving out tracts. Not necessarily. Because Jesus, in a way, evangelized to that woman at the well. When last did you tell someone about Jesus? You don't need to say it. I want us to think about that. When last did you tell someone about Jesus? Because God's plan for us is, he said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel, and to the most uttermost part of the world. And I wrote here that you are the priest in fish ponds. You are the priest of your home. You are the priest in your workplace. And that's the plan that God has for us as well, is you need to see yourself, that how am I fitting into God's plan? When last did I have evangelism on my mind? Or am I so into my own life? Because God's plan for us is for us to also align with his plan. And like I always say, when we get to heaven, you know, I'm sure maybe Brother Moses, or sorry, let me give him another title. He's not Brother Moses, or that's Apostle Moses. He did some big things. I can't call him brother. He'll say, oh, welcome, my brother. We've been waiting for you. Ah, you were the usher in that CFT Bristol church, right? Ah, man, you did good. We saw you. Yeah. The way you used to dress as well was on point. And the way you used to welcome those people, you're welcome. Hey, wait, hold up. Pastor Benson. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, we saw how you led those people in CFT. That's what the conversations are going to be in heaven. So are you aligned with that plan? I want to leave us with that this morning. And something struck me, just in closing, because I know that Pastor Manson is looking at the time and I'm looking at the time. You know something that struck me? Earlier this morning, I said I was going to use the story of Judas, but I decided to use the woman of Samaria. Is that, you know, Judas, how did Judas miss God's plan? Because Judas was with Jesus in the flesh. And he had so many opportunities, do you understand, to get himself back on the path. You know, one thing that really, that I took from that story is sometimes we can be so close to Jesus. Sometimes we know Jesus, but not walking with Jesus. Judas knew Jesus, but he did not walk with him. Peter, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has tried to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. But when he told Judas, I was like, why didn't Jesus pray for Judas? He prayed for Peter because he knew Judas had already given himself over. Do you understand? And I was like, God, I don't want to know Jesus, read the Bible, sing in a choir, come to church and miss it like Judas. Because Judas was right in the midst with Jesus. And that will not be our portion. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's just rise up this morning and let us really open our hearts to God with the word of God we've heard this morning. Open up our hearts and just say, God, help me to align my plan with your plans. I want us to cry out this morning. When you align your plans with God's plans, he makes everything easy. Is there something you're trusting God for? Is there a word that you've read concerning your life or prophecy really that's been spoken over your life? Let me tell you that it's already done. It's easy. Just align yourself with God's plan. Just align yourself with God's plan. Are there any voices in your head like the woman of Samaria? She didn't count herself worthy. But at the end of the day, Jesus gave her a revelation she needed. And the plan of God just blossomed in her life. Just say, Father, Lord, help me to align myself with your plan. Lord Jesus, help us to align our plan with your plan. Let us know that walking in your plan is what matters. Walking in God's plan is what pays. Jesus pays. We don't want to just live this life doing things our own way. But God, we want to align ourselves with your plan this morning. Oh God, help us. Help us, Father, Lord. Is there anyone this morning who is weary, who is tired because they feel like, I feel like that woman, that Samaritan woman, I feel like my life is useless, or I feel ashamed of the life I've lived. God cannot possibly want to use me or have a plan for my life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And we silence that voice in the mighty name of Jesus. We silence that voice permanently. And I want to just say to anyone who feels like that, that Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says God has a plan for you, and the plan he has for you is not to harm you, is to prosper you, so that you can come and pray to him. And he said he will listen, and he said that you will seek him, and when you seek him you will find him. When you find Jesus, you find the plan of your life. When you find Jesus, you get the answers to what, not what you might want, but what you need. Father, this morning we come like the woman with the issue of the blood, and we cling onto you, and we say, God, Father, help me to align my plan to yours in the name of Jesus. Help me to align my plan with your plan in the name of Jesus. Someone needs to go back home this afternoon and say, I silence the voice of the enemy in my life that says my life is going to be like this forever, that says I'm useless. The word of God in Chronicles 20:20 says, believe in the word of God, it is established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. That's all we need to do. Father, we thank you this morning for you have done it. Thank you, Father, because we are walking in purpose. We are walking in purpose. Thank you, you have called us as priests to our home, our workplace, to fish ponds or wherever we reside. Thank you, Father, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And I just pray that this morning the word that we have heard, that the cares of this world will not carry it away. The stress of this life will not choke it up. But I pray this word of God shall dig deep, shall find a place, and it shall be fruitful. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.